Good morning, everybody. We are happy to be here, and this is February 25th, and we are going to start today asking you to open your Bibles in Romans chapter 5.
What?
Romans chapter 5.
Oh.
Basically. Is this one working or not?
Thank you very much.
It's on. I see a red
light. Okay. So, I'm very happy to be able to be here today. I have been going through some health difficulties this last 15 days, and now I'm just hoping my way to recovery. Still have a little cough, but nothing that can be spread all over you. Instead, we want to spread over you the blessings of God. And today, I want to make some observations concerning some words. You are very familiar with the word falls, like Iguazu Falls that we know very well in Brazil, and you know Niagara Falls. Carol and I have been able to go there too, very beautiful. And also the word cascade. A cascade is a different way to talk about a waterfall. Like if a water, the river fall from a very high place into a canyon or something like that, just like Niagara Falls, it falls into a canyon, then you use the word falls. But when the river comes down and the stony place, like the bottom of the river, just comes down very fast, but there's a lot of stones, that's the word we use in Brazil, cascata. That's cascade that you have in English. And today, we're not going to talk about a waterfall. We're going to talk about a cascade. And it's a very interesting way that the Apostle Paul blessed us with so many truths that the Bible put it all together. The Bible puts together here in Romans chapter 5. I like to do the reading on the chapter 5, starting with verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gifts is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So to this verse, we see that the Apostle Paul is going to share with us about the big difference between the results of sin coming from Adam to humanity. And and the result of the work of one man toward humanity. When we see the disastrous work of Adam committing sin at the garden and transmitting, contaminating the whole world through his seed, he passed on the nature of sin, the tendency, the natural tendency we have to sin. It's something that we just can't avoid it. It's just impossible for us to avoid that. And of course, there are very special verses in chapter 7 that talks about that, and I will ask you to go over there in Romans 7:15. Romans 7:15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. So this is a course, the course of sin that lead man to do things that he's not interested in doing. And I'm sure that many of you, or all of us, we can see in our lives that sinful nature acting in our flesh and leading us to do sinful things. Even if we have pleasure in the Word of God, even if we do know the importance and the high principles of God's Word, and so good they are for our lives, actually, there is something inside of us fighting that. Of course, salvation that comes through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the hope of freedom. And in this country that we live, and now I will not say I'm really proud to be an American, but I'm enjoying the citizenship now thanks to the process we have been going through. And November 17, I did my oath to the flag and to promise, making that promise that are related to those that acquire American citizenship. And in this country, we enjoy freedom, but not the freedom that we really need. And the only way that we can enjoy freedom is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only freedom from the consequences of sin, that is the death, that is the separation from God, but it's also the ability to be able to not live sinful lives any longer. And many of you do not understand that we are not supposed to be under sin any longer. And you can see the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, where he say, for sin, Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So to be under grace doesn't mean that we are free from sin, we are free from condemnation, and we just let's go live the life and have fun, and who cares? You know, that's not grace. We don't come to church every Sunday, or some of you during the week also, and like us that work planting churches in Brazil, I go almost every day out there to be sharing the Word of God, and also learning, because at the same time you're teaching, you are reviewing everything that you already know from the Word. At the beginning of our Sunday school time, I told you about a cascade. So let's go through this cascade now, because the Apostle Paul let's use the grace of God as the waters in a cascade here. Let's see how beautiful it is. I don't ever remember seeing a book about the poems of the Apostle Paul. Do you have any book in your house that talks about the poems of the Apostle Paul? So this is one. Romans 5, verse, starting in the verse we left. Let's read it again, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Isn't that beautiful? He's giving us the beauty of the comparison of something done by a man contaminated with sin and its consequences of his sins to the world through his conditional, he just passing on this grace to the whole world. But in the other side, we see the work of one man, Jesus Christ, dispensing his grace upon everybody, upon every man. Of course, not every man takes the advantage, takes the privilege to have the salvation, because salvation is a gift given by God by faith. And if you believe it, you have it. If you don't believe it, I'm sorry, you're missing. But look at the next verse, because the Apostle Paul will rephrase this in a different way. Remember the cascade? The waters fall over the stones, and every place you look, you see a different stone, but it's the same water coming through. And it makes beautiful. And at the same thing, now the Apostle Paul is showing God's grace coming through those bumps and making the whole scenery beautiful. Look at that. And here, in the verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. That's another aspect of God's grace, touching the side of justification, touching the circumstances of a man that pled guilty and he's condemned, but now God is applying to that man his righteousness. So he using the word justified, because righteous and just is about same word coming from a different origin. Our Portuguese and our English language, they all have words coming from Latin or from Greek or for different origins. And depending on the radical, you're going to see many times they're using actually words that are exactly the same, but they are applying and they look different, but they are not. Just and righteous, it's the same thing. And God is applying his righteousness upon everyone that believed the gospel. And at this point, we're going to go to verse 17 now and see another cascade. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now this is, I think, is one of the aspects that it's really beautiful. Beautiful to see that it's God's grace. God's grace didn't come to us just to take away our condemnation. It's not that only. Those that believe in Christ will have the privilege to have Christ reigning through him. You heard of the Apostle Paul words in Philippians and Colossians talking about, you know, that famous place that talk about. Let's open in Philippians 1:13. Philippians 1, verse 13. Oh, am I? I'm sorry. That's Colossians 1, 13. Colossians 1, 13. I'm sorry for the wrong reference. In Colossians 1, 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So at this point, we understand we are not under the millennium kingdom. We are not under the ministry of the Lords of Lords over Israel, being the kingdom over Israel. We are not under that kingdom. We know that the gospel of the kingdom was preached to the Israelites before the Apostle Paul announced this gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. And so we do understand, and I'm sure this is piece of cake for most of you that have been attending this church, that we know we are not under the physical kingdom that will be started and starting with the great day of the Lord when he'll come to restore Israel, to restore his people, and to call all his elects from all the four winds and put it together, the thousand-year kingdom. We are not talking about this kingdom. Here we are talking about the kingdom of this, the Son of his love. And here the Apostle Paul is talking about a spiritual working of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Spirit, working through us. Like the Apostle Paul used in a different wording, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is a phrase that most of the grace believers know very well. My question is, are you actually living? Are you actually allowing God to reign over you? Are you really giving God the access to take you and lead you to a very special way to live, to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in every single action you do? This is very special. Actually, we are not to deliver the members of our bodies to sin any longer, but we are called to serve our God and give our the members of our body as instruments to serve him, to serve God. It's about him. It's not about us. So back to our cascade. Wow, I didn't finish that. The Apostle Paul is still going on. And here in the verse 18, he goes again. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Beautiful. Again, he confirmed that we are not under judgment any longer. We have peace with God. Romans 5:1. Read again. Romans 5:1. We didn't read it, but let's read it. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no fear. We don't have to be trembling in fear, afraid of God because of our sins. It's all done. It's all, it took over. It took care of it. It's all set. God imputed to us His justice. We are right before God. There is no accusation any longer. We are free to go because, not because we are pardoned only, we are justified. We are pardoned because we are justified. We have God's pardon because He justified, He paid for the price. He gave His own blood to pay for our sins. So, going on, back in Romans 5, we see here in the verse 19 again. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. This is another aspect of the beautiful cascade that God poured through us through Romans 5. It's not only for me. It's for others. It's for the whole world. There are some very bad things happening in Brazil right now because news came. There is a certain island in north Brazil by the Amazon River, the Isles of Marajó. Marajó is the name of the island. It's a big island. If you Google Earth, the Amazon Foss.
The delta
of Amazon, you're going to see that big island in there. That's Marajó. And there's a lot of tourists that goes there to see the beauty of that area. But the poor people that lives around, they do everything to make a little money. So they send their own kids. Many times, even the kids go by themselves. And they go in the very little boats trying to reach the tour boats and offer their bodies in prostitution to please evil people that are on those boats. So this is exploding in news in Brazil because of a Christian singer put a song together to show the hypocrisy of many Christians in the world today. They're not doing anything about nothing, about things like that. And I wrote a comment because a lady from our church put that song in one of our groups, and I wrote there, you know, we're lacking in our special opportunity to share the gospel with more people. Because we can't fix this world. This world is, it's damned to destruction. this world is going to be destroyed. Nothing can we can do. Everything is being corrupted more and more. You know how that goes. Just look the international news, look the national news. You're going to find everywhere corruption is taking over. And of course, it's not. It's going to be in every aspect of life. But what are we doing to preserve and to announce the wonderful principles of life that lead us a life without sin to other people? It's not about talking, it's about living. And here in this cascade, we see the Apostle Paul showing that God's wonderful, beautiful grace that he sent his only son to pay the debt of sin. But also gave us the power to live a life without sin. And what are we doing concerning those people around us? Because when we think about those people in Ilha do Marajó in Brazil, Marajó Island, you may think, well, I can't do anything about it. I'm so far away. But you are so close to so many other people that don't know the gospel. Every time I visit a church here in the States, sometimes I get a good surprise, sometimes I get a little sad, because I see more and more pews empty. I see more chairs vacant. What's happening? Are the churches dying? And why are they dying? Why they are not growing? Why there are not more people coming? Well, they are not interested. Of course they are not. The world, follow the world. That's the way. But we are the instruments that God can use today to reach out those people. Later on we are going to be sharing a little bit about what the Lord has been doing through the ministry of those down in Brazil, the churches that we have been planting, and the leaders that we have been training, and the ministry toward family that we have been developing, and the ministry toward promoting values like marriage and raising families, and we want to be a personal testimony of that to people. We want them to see how much God changed us, and what kind of values we use in our lives every day. You know, sometimes I think I don't have much credit in Brazil. What do you mean, don't have credit? Yeah, if I need to go to the bank and ask for some money, I'm not getting any. I have no credit. Why? Because I never been into debt. Isn't that weird? I never have to sleep at night with a debt to pay tomorrow. No. We made a choice. And the choice is, I don't buy if I don't have it. I don't use credit cards. Why? Well, today, it may be even more, you have so many advantages of using credit card that it may be a good option, but I don't need a credit card. Because if I want to buy something with a credit card, then I have to go over there and pay it. Why waste my time in getting a credit card if I can pay it right here with the money that I have in my pocket? And if I don't have money in my pocket, I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. It's that simple. How many people today in this country are in debt with several credit cards? You know what is this? This is a terrible testimony that you can offer to people. The bankers know how much you own, and many times justice will come after you because you are in debt, big debt. Is that the way we learn from the scriptures? No. So Karen and I, we decide, no, we are not going to make debt. We are not going to have used credit cards. We don't want to go to that temptation to be tempted to use something that they are offering you to use, but they are going to charge later on. And I'm just talking about fairly simple thing. Testimony that I can walk into Jucas, the city where we live, and I can go to any place, and I know I don't own anybody anything because I always paid my bills. All set. Well, you say that because you're a missionary, you get a bunch of dollars and everything. Sure. You can't find any excuse you want. But anything, we have been trying to share this with our kids. We have been trying to teach them those principles. We have been trying to show them how much easier, how much better it is to live the way God gave us to live. And this cascade was given to us to take use not only on that little stone that the water goes over. The abundant grace of God is being given as a cascade here in Romans 5 for us to take advantage of the whole grace of God. The whole river is yours. The grace was given abundantly and given in many, many different areas of your life. We can choose to take it how much you want. And how we're going to change the situation in Ilha do Marajó in Brazil, Marajó Island in Brazil. Of course, Karen and I, we live over 4,000 miles away from that place. So we're almost as far as you are from Ilha do Marajó Island. But I do understand there are a lot of people worried about it, and people working in there, and many politics are taking the cause and trying to do something about it and forcing the government. There's pressure here and there to avoid that. We pray that sooner or later the situation will get better there. But there are so many other calamities all over the world. But my question is about your own calamity, your own little world. What are you doing about your neighbor? Yes, the next door guy I never see him. He's never around. Yeah, American culture is quite a weird. But we understand. We have you have a brain. You have intelligence that God gave us to solve those kind of things. Go find those people. If you cannot see them, go find a way that you can see them. Maybe you try to reach other people at the shopping centers. Maybe in different other places where you can find people. You know, the Apostle Paul went through his life visiting most of the big centers of the antiquity, like Corinth, Athens, Ephesus, and big cities. He went there. And he went and he found his way to get in contact with people. How he did that? Do you know that? How did Apostle Paul, not knowing anybody in town, how could he just get in contact with people? Well, he took advantage of his religion. He took advantage of being a Jew, and he took advantage that he was, before he was saved, he was a Pharisee of Pharisee. He was one of the guys that took a special place in the synagogue. And so he took advantage of that. And he he walked into the synagogue knowing that most of the people will not accept the message he had, but he took advantage of the opportunity he had. And he went. So I remember being in Brazil, I was invited by a principal from a school to give speeches to students about drugs. Wow. I don't care about drugs. I have nothing to do with that. Come on. I'm going to find something else to do. No. I went and I studied drugs. I bought books about drugs. I bought and I study things about cocaine, about you name it. Marijuana, all kinds of heroin and you name it. LSD, whatever. I studied that and I studied the effects and I dealt with the people. So I was able to go to in front of 40 students to talk about the dangers of drugs. But sure, I never missed an opportunity to share the gospel right there together. And other principals invite me. Well, Bernardo, you know so much about so many things. Could you come and talk on the radio about depression? Sure. What I do know about depression? Well, way back then, I didn't know anything about depression. So I went to study about depression to be able to go to the radio station and be part of a program to talk about depression. The gospel was always there. Sometimes I was going to talk about tobacco. You know, so many people are slave of that. So I went to study about tobacco. I have in my family, personal disgrace being caused by tobacco. My father died for consequence of using tobacco for so many years. We lost him much earlier than we. He didn't have to go so early, but he made choices in his life, and it was still in the beginning of the war, and he got involved with that, and after the war, it took so many years for him to one day take a decision, getting rid of it. And he got rid of it, thank the Lord. But it took his... So I could go on and on and on and share with you so many areas in our life that the God gave us victory over sin, gave us victory over the power of sin, gave us victory over the dominion of those things that entangle us and keep us away from God. Because if you are involved in any of those things, in any other sin in your life, actually, you lose completely your authority to talk about God's freedom. If you are not living God's freedom, if you are not enjoying God's freedom, you don't have the joy to share with people the beauty. Well, you can tell me, well, Bernard, it's not that easy. I know that. It's a dying daily activity. You've got to make a decision every day, isn't that true? Because the enemy is there. The enemy is not out there, it's only in here. The enemy runs in you. The flesh is still here. This is one of the things that the Lord didn't save us right away, is from our body of flesh. We're still... will inhabit in this body of flesh until we come to our day, or maybe if the Lord comes earlier, we're going to be raptured and transformed into new bodies. So then we're not going to have any problems with flesh anymore. But while we're still here, flesh is still take advantage and take you away. So it's up to you. Yield to God. Do not yield to the flesh. Choices, we make it. Read Galatians. Read All the letters of the Apostle Paul, they are very, very highly permeated with those informations. So finally, we're going to end our cascade just with reading the rest of the verse. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that a poem? Isn't that beautiful, the way the Apostle Paul presents those two big contrasts of the results of sin beginning in Adam and being transmitted to humanity, and the other way, the Lord Jesus Christ coming and giving us freedom and also empowering us and giving us a participation in His kingdom over the saints, His kingdom in the church. Nothing to do with the Israel physical kingdom, but actually a spiritual reign, Christ reigning through us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, I want to ask you if you do have any question for us. Maybe you want to make a comment. Yeah.
Could you go in your scripture? I notice you're using a different translation, and look at Colossians 1:13 again. I've been in conversation with a cousin of mine, and I was trying to express to her our transport into the kingdom of God, our citizenship in heaven. And all the verses that came out were, look, what she told me kind of looked at the citizenship of the saints on earth. In Colossians 1:13, what is your translation about hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear son? What's the second half of your verse?
The translation I'm using the New King James.
Oh,
yeah, and the New King James does have a different set of manuscripts that are used for the New King James. But it's very similar to our translation in Portuguese. That's why I like the New King James. The other reason I don't use the King James, not because I don't like it, it's because of the archaic English used. Yeah. And actually, in Brazil, I do have a King James version that has no archaic on it. They took only the archaic forms of verbs, and it's much easier. So I can use that. I do appreciate the best translation if I can. But in this case, because of my English limitations, I rather use something that I can at least understand when I'm reading. Okay, but this is what the New King James in Colossians 1:13 say. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin.
So I'm wondering, like, translated to me, kind of that we're a new creature, that we're in the kingdom of God, different than, and I don't know if transferred would be the same meaning, because she's
conveyed and transferred or take it to be part of it.
Translated.
Yeah, because the word translated, it can be used like when you translate a word in English to Portuguese, translate, but actually it's transporting the meaning from one language to the other one, basically.
I'll have to look into that, yeah.
Yeah. The word trans, just like transform, it also comes from the Greek word metamorphosis, the changing that take place. So there is a change here. And the change here is that you were from this kind of realm and now you're taking to a different thing. You were under God's direction, you were under God's power, you're under God's kingdom now. So there's a change that took place. And we were transported from one condition of sin to a condition of being free from sin and able to please God in what you do. Yes?
When you do your speaking engagements, like for the drugs and things like that, are you able to present the gospel? Are you talking to Christians? Are you talking to just a general
No. In many, many opportunities, even last night in Brazil, they were having the Church of Criciúma, that's the last church we started in Brazil, they have a ministry for a drug addicted recovery center. And they last night, they were doing a special program with them. And those people, they come from all different areas, and believers or not, who knows, they are there and they're under that condition. So all my experiences that I have over the years going to those places and sharing the Bible with them, first place was always sharing the gospel. And then because the power of Christ can make you really free from the entangles of sin. There is no other way. Say it loud, dear. Yeah, so in most of the places or all of the places that I have been able to go to, in order to reach whatever, in schools or in rehabilitation centers, they give you freedom to share your faith. No problem. That's not a big problem in Brazil. Of course, here in the States, you may find some limitations depending on where you go, but this is not the case in Brazil. Even in schools, if you are invited to teach anything, you can share, good or bad, depending on who is sharing. Yeah. The people that teach about nature and that teach about biology in Brazil, they will bring their agenda. They will talk about evolution. They talk about that's their beliefs. Actually, these are not true, but that's what they believe. They are going to share. So I can do the same. I will share my beliefs. No problem. That's lawful.
Thank you.
Okay. Our time is about getting to the end, and I like to ask you to, there's a table back there, the other side, with two displays, one facing this way, the other one facing the other way, and the one facing this way are pictures from our camp, and activities from our camp, and there are pictures laying on the table too. Don't take those pictures away, please. There are prayer cards at the end of the table with a notebook that you can put your name if you are interested in getting our prayer letters. But on the other side, the other display shows the several different churches we have been able to led by the Lord to establish those churches. And they are also, and if you look in that other side, to the right column, there are pictures of several people. That those are the leaders that we have been training also and also training right now. So let's take a little time now. If you want to get a drink or something, step by our table. Because I know after the church is gone, everybody is gone. I don't know what happened here sometimes. You know, and I know that because Carol and I, we are always the last one to leave the church. So we know everybody who left before us. So if you take your time now, let's have a word of prayer, and then you're going to be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for giving us strength to be here this morning. And I give you thanks for my recovery, and give you thanks for the energy and the strength you give to us to share the word that you gave to us. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful cascade of your grace that was given to us. And help us, Lord, to take the abundant grace into our lives and allow that we allowed us to continue serving you and spreading this wonderful grace to the world. Help us, Lord. Help us to be bold. Help us to have the courage to open our mouth in the right time and reaching out the lost people, because we know this is the only hope. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege to become an instrument in your hand to reach out with the gospel. Lord, we pray that you may yield the Holy Spirit and of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you may conquer those barriers through your word. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, not only our Savior, but our Lord, that are here to help us to exercise Lordship in our life and lead us to the best way to do things for you. In Christ Jesus' name, in his wonderful name, we give you thanks and pray.